561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion we have each and every day as we face the issues. We're talking about an issue today that I believe should grasp the attention, get the attention of every listener. We need to understand some of the facts. We need to separate facts from fiction. We need to understand what is taking place in the realm of the CDC and the NIH and the FDA. What is taking place? You've heard a few bits and pieces on the Marxist media, but you've not heard the details, the facts, and the details about it. I'm calling the issue today, CDC lied to America. Some of you might laugh and say, we all knew that. Of course we did. But we had the Marxist media and Big Pharma that continued to promulgate the lie and push the deceit that cost the lives, in my opinion, of millions of people nationally and internationally as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that CDC and the FDA and the other health officials are afraid to reveal the truth to the public. Now let me just pause for a moment, insert a little parenthetical footnote to make that statement clear. Robert Kendrick is the Secretary of Health, and he is the one that is over the NIH. He's the one that makes the decision on what happens with CDC. He's the one that has just fired several people, and it's caused a, how would you say, a major battle across the aisles in D.C. Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party are all upset. Pocahontas just got upset in the recent hearing, and she was challenging Robert Kennedy, and he said to her, he said, well, let me remind you, you're the one that received $855,000 from Big Pharma. Of course you're going to stand for them. So we'll talk about those issues, but the major thing is today we have a very special guest. We've had Dr. Sheftall with us before, and he's with us today. In just a moment, I'll introduce him and basically invite him to simply run the gamut with what we see taking place and how we see happening and what we need to do, what we need to know as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America. So let me set the stage, because as we face the issues, as we do each and every day, on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The truth book. The truth book. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And listen, we're in that time and place, chronologically speaking, of what is taking place in the world today. We have those in Washington that we call the political leaders that are reversing facts, reversing the truth, pleading for cases that are absolutely not documented as being factual, but absolutely false, and expecting the general public to simply embrace it. When someone comes along like Robert Kennedy, someone comes along like President Donald J. Trump and pulls the rug out from under the lie, all of a sudden the roaches start trying to find a corner to hide in. And I believe that's what we're seeing today in America. We're talking about that today. And lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And after a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines, invite you to call in, join the dialogue and discussion. But let me remind you, as we face the issues according to the Word of God, the truth book, Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17, 17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." And then, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalm 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a soft pillow to place your head on. The truth of the Lord endures forever. But, ladies and gentlemen, we must face the facts that in the society in which we're living in, it parallels what George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said. He said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see today that to be very, very factually true. I go back to a quote from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. He said, "The decline of America is based on the death of truth." He said, in part, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real, yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." We come to the point, ladies and gentlemen, that sometimes you'll find that it's difficult to separate truth from error. To define fact from fiction, because we've been so indoctrinated by the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party that we have those out there today. Perhaps you're listening, and some of the things we'll talk about today, perhaps you would want to counter, ask the question, or challenge it. We'd love to hear from you. But may I say to you, that number is 904-831-0917. Some of the latest survey shows, ladies and gentlemen, that 55% of the millennials say that there's no absolute truth. 55% of the millennials say that each and every individual has their own version of truth. Now, if you have more than one version of truth, you don't have truth. In fact, I don't know how in the world you go to a court case or any other position of trying to determine what is right and what is wrong if there's no absolute truth, if there's not a definitive truth. How do you do that? I'm looking at a major headline that's frightening. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And that's what we talk about on this broadcast each and every day, is truth. One of the things we'll talk about today in particular is the truth about what happened with the CDC, the NIH, FDA, and some of those previous leaders. And now that they're being fired, all of a sudden it is causing major firestorm in D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the theologian and church reformer of the 15th century, Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my position. That's my statement. That's what I cling to each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have today with us our special guest. He's been with us before. We interviewed Dr. Schaftal about a week the last time we were on there with him. Dr. Reed Schaftal is an author, professor, graduate of MIT, medical doctor, heart surgeon, plastic surgeon, etc., etc. I could go on and on, Dr. Schaftal, with your credentials and your bio, but I'm thankful to have you with us today. And ladies and gentlemen, he's the author of two books. One of them is entitled Sanctioned, the COVID Murders. The other is Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of List. That's L-I-S-T-S. Both of those are available at Amazon.com. And pretty soon we'll be stocking those at Conservative Theological University in our campus bookstore. We'll be online. But I would recommend, I've just glanced at the one, I've not seen it before, Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of List. Fantastic read. Both of them are interesting, very, very detailed with some of the information that all of us would love to have and see and understand in relationship to what we've been told in the past 4 or 5 years about COVID. So, Dr. Sheftall, thank you for being here today. It's our delight to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Pastor. I'm very happy to be here. We had a great time last time, and I expect the same this week.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Our governor, Ron DeSantis, has just announced that Florida would no longer require any vaccinations for any Floridian. Is that good or bad?
That's good. All states should follow suit. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be any requirement of vaccines. And it's a very, very complex explanation I have for that, why I have that position. And it would take up the whole show. So I'm going to wait for people to ask me specific questions. Otherwise, we are going to get on to a description that will take hours.
Absolutely.
But it's very, very important. It's the truth.
It's the truth. Well, you know the name Dr. Bhattacharya. I forget his name pronounced correctly. He just recently was interviewed on television, and they were challenging him because he has the same position his very words, he said, the government ought not to tell you what you put in your body. I was so thankful to hear that because
yeah.
I've been so horrified with what's taking place in the past 4 or 5 years with the lies coming out of CDC and the NIH and FDA and those that were in charge and what they've said and done. And that's what your book is about, the Heroes and Villains, the COVID-19 Book of List. You list how many people in there?
Oh, hundreds. These are people who, both the hero side and the villain side, I pick a topic like who is responsible for the most death and destruction. And I list, that would be on the villain side, of course. Mm-hmm. And I list the people and I have a paragraph below each name explaining why they're ranked where they're ranked based on what they did and how many people lost their lives because of what they did.
Yes.
There's other hero lists such as 15 excellent journalists mm-hmm. that helped fight the evil people along the way and tried to tell the truth.
And your list is not arbitrary and capricious. It's a list of facts of what they did and what they didn't do.
Absolutely. It's factual.
Right. It's not just coming up with the names and say they're bad boys, but it's what they actually did in relationship to the COVID lie.
Oh, no. I'd get sued if I didn't tell the truth. I mean, this is the kind of book where I'm saying that people caused the death of other people. And believe me, if I wasn't right, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe we have Justin on the line. Justin, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was calling. I had a question, or actually I had a comment I heard this morning, which if I heard it correctly, they were saying that 1 in 4 Christians believe that they are without sin. I was wondering what you thought about that. And also another statistic they mentioned was that less than 3% of messages in the church today actually talk about sin. So I just wanted to hear your thoughts and comments on that.
Well, Justin, very briefly and quickly, let me remind you as well as our listeners, the sad, sad, sad statistical data is that, and this is out of the Barna report, that only 4% of the pastors, only 4% of what they call executive pastors, have a biblical worldview. Only 37% of the pulpit preaching pastors have a biblical worldview. So if you don't have a biblical worldview, you can embrace anything. And it is very, very clear, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, therefore death it passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So if a person says that he's sinless, then he's saying, I'm God, I'm Jesus, because in your veins and in my veins flows the Adamic Adamic blood, which is the sin nature of us all. Jesus Christ is the only one that did not have Adamic blood in his veins. The blood flowing in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was God's blood, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. It was God's blood. Therefore, Jesus Christ was perfect, had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. But outside of that, every human being, everyone under the sound of my voice, every human being has a sin nature. The wonderful news is that we can say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We still have the sin nature, but we have a brand new nature, and that is the nature working in and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I'm thankful for the death of Christ on Calvary's cross for my sins and for the privilege to know Him in the full forgiveness of sins. We're not righteous in and of ourselves, but we're robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm prayerful that that is a brief but thorough answer for you, Justin. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Our special guest today is Dr. Reed Sheftall, and he is a heart surgeon. He is a plastic surgeon. He's an MIT graduate. Ladies and gentlemen, as a medical doctor with all of the credentials, and by the way, I had a conversation with him before airtime, looked at some of the scores on some of his previous testing in relationship to his score, and it was 99th percentile out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those in the field and taking those particular exams. So I'm thankful for the genius that God's given him in his mind, for the privilege that we have to interview him and talk with him in relationship to these things about COVID. Now, Dr. Sheftall, I'm looking at an article that says, Dr. Fauci may finally get what he deserves thanks to this Republican. Senator Ron Paul calls for Fauci to face charges over congressional testimony. Senator Ron Paul, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, has urged the Justice Department to charge the former National Intelligence Allergy and Infectious Disease Director, Anthony Fauci, with lying to Congress amid the validity of a pardon issued by former President Joe Biden. So the question, now there's some people that say, well, you know, the Republicans ought not to go after revenge. It's not revenge, as I said, it's justice. What are your thoughts about bringing to justice? And you touch on that in your book, the COVID-19 Book of Lists, The Heroes and Villains. You touch on some of the things that they did. Should they be brought to justice? Should there be justice in that? Or should we just leave it alone?
Pastor, first, just if I could make a tiny correction. I think you're talking about Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, correct.
Yes. He's the one that's a senator now.
Yes.
His dad, I think, is retired.
Yes.
But anyway, listen, anyone involved in the COVID-19 farce, any and everyone, who was employed at the CDC should lose their job. Mm-hmm. And some of them should be prosecuted and sent to prison if found guilty. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because they were responsible for the deaths of innocent people, including children. We don't go after them, quote unquote, because we want to, you know, settle the score or for revenge or something. We want to make sure that we have a society where if people engage in the kind of activity that they engaged in, that they're punished to a proper degree, so that the people that would consider doing this in the future would think twice about it. We don't want this to happen anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's happened a dozen times since 1900. It's amazing. There was no causative agent in the case of the Spanish flu, believe it or not. That's been proven. Mm-hmm. There was no causative agent in the case of polio. That was caused by lead, arsenate, and DDT poisoning. Mm-hmm. There was no causative agent in the case of chicken pox, measles, and I can prove all these. It's very hard to believe that there's no measles virus, but there isn't. The swine flu of 1976 is a very interesting case. David Sensor was the CDC director, and because of some soldiers that had gotten sick with flu-like symptoms at his Fort Dix camp, some of the specimens were sent to the CDC, and that's how he got involved. And during the 9 months it took to prepare a vaccine, no one else got sick of this thing, and no one in the entire world had a confirmed case of the swine flu, yet he still pushed for the vaccine and got President Ford to endorse it. And $40 million Americans took the vaccine at the CDC's urging, and 674 people died for a disease that never had a single confirmed case. Isn't that just incredible?
It boggles the imagination.
It's horrible. And it happened in 1976, and no one got punished for it. I think if they had punished people along the way, we wouldn't have had any COVID-19 at all.
I agree with that.
And so, listen, I don't just throw out these names of diseases and say that they didn't exist just for the fun of it. I've got the proof of it. For example, if you've ever looked at the studies of Dr. Milton Rosenau, and who did the studies on Gallup's Island in Boston, and Drs. McCoy and Ritchie of the U.S. Public Health Service and the U.S. Navy on Angel Island in San Francisco, they showed that during the Spanish flu, there was not a causative agent spreading from person to person. They did experiments and tried to take a healthy person and have the mucus from a sick person with the Spanish flu sprayed into their lungs, injected into their subcutaneous, coughed when they were face-to-face, coughed directly into their face. They even took the fluid from the lungs of a dead person who had just died of the Spanish flu and injected it into their subcutaneous and sprayed it into their lungs. And in that set of experiments, not a single person took ill in any way. Isn't that amazing? So there was not a causative agent of it. It was a case of vaccinating the soldiers when they came back from the war front from World War I. That's what caused them to get sick. It's been proven now. It's accepted.
So that makes a transition from my thoughts. As it presently stands, from the time a baby is, say, 6 months old,
right,
until that child is 17 years old, I'm told that they're presently required 67 different vaccinations. 67. What's the rationale behind that?
Well, I don't know of the exact number, but I'll accept it. You know, no, I mean, I'm very, very, very careful with making statements that I don't happen to know for sure, but I'll accept your number of 67.
That's the article that I read on that. Yes.
Yeah, I believe you. Because, you know, there's quite a few shots. I mean, we're injecting babies now for things like Japanese encephalitis, which when I was a child, we didn't get injected for that. I think there were about 10 when I was a kid. But nowadays, they've added many, many more. And so I don't challenge you at all on that. I'm just saying that, again, like I mentioned at the very beginning of today's interview, there is a reason why large pharmaceutical companies want to keep the concept of the virus alive, because they make so much money on the vaccines for these viruses. And I can prove very easily in the case of SARS-CoV-2 that the virus did not exist. And COVID-19 was merely a rebranding of other diseases.
Yes. I believe we talked about that on the last interview.
We did.
Take a few moments and give a little capsulization of that statement and why you say that.
Okay. There are three ways that virologists demonstrate the existence of a virus. Now, if you've ever taken biology in school or in college, you will remember that viruses replicate by getting inside human cells, or human viruses do, get inside human cells, hijack the replication machinery, because remember, a virus does not have a circulatory system, it does not have a respiratory system, is all it is, it doesn't have an excretory system, it has no means of making energy, etc. So it has to rely on the machinery that's located in a eukaryotic cell if it's a human virus, for example. It is only made up of a capsule of protein and fat and genetic material that is inside that capsule. That's what a virus is. That's why there's always the question, is a virus alive or not? You know? Okay. So it has to get inside the cell and hijack the replication machinery in order to make copies of itself. Now, it has all the information on the genetic material that is inside the capsule, the virus does, to make all the proteins to make a perfect copy of itself. And it makes, according to the theory now that we learned in biology, it makes a million copies of itself, and then it breaks the cell open and lets all these copies come out. That's how it replicates itself. Whereas a bacteria, for example, can simply divide, as you know, and human cells can divide. Okay. Now, what makes us sick when we get a viral illness is that breaking apart of so many cells in our body to replicate the virus. It's called the cytopathic effect, and that is what makes us sick when we get a viral infection. Now, because we fight that process, you know, when we're infected with a virus. This is all the theory of a virus. But I can prove very, very easily that that does not occur. And let me do so now in a very tight way for you and for your listeners. There are three ways that, that virologists demonstrate the existence of a virus. One is by the cytopathic effect that I just explained. We do experiments and there's some strange things that are done by virologists, but I'm just going to go ahead and list them and let you figure out easily why they use them. They use a cell line most commonly called Vero cells, which is a cell line of monkey kidney cells. Now, why they use monkey kidney cells for a disease that infects our lungs is there's a reason for it. And that is that the antibiotics that they also throw into the mix, you know, to keep bacteria out, and the antimycotics to keep the fungi out, are toxic to those kidney cells of the monkey. And they want the cell to break open to appear that the theory of the cell making copies and breaking open is correct. But really, they're putting it in the soup of antibiotics and antimycotics so that it will kill the cell and give that appearance, even though it has nothing to do with replicating the virus. And the reason we know that is because we've done the same experiment without adding the specimen from the human. So it couldn't possibly be due to a virus that's in there. In other words, the breaking open of the cell line is not because of a virus. Mm-hmm. So that we've therefore disproved the cytopathic effect theory. That's one of the three ways. The second way is by photography, by literally looking at the round particles that come out of the cells when they break open. And even the Journal of Virology will tell us that there's no way to tell an exosome from a viral particle. And they have a vested interest in demonstrating the existence of viruses. Okay, the third way is by sequencing the genome of the virus. And I can tell you that from my background in physics, I was a physics major, that the machine they use to separate the proteins from the DNA from the RNA can separate DNA from RNA and from proteins, but it cannot separate out the sources of RNA. In other words, all the RNA gets put together because that machine is called an ultracentrifuge, and it separates things based on density differences.
Right.
And all the RNA sources, whether it comes from a human, a bacterium, a virus, or a fungus, have the same density. So they have no way of separating out the RNA. And we have done studies on the SARS-2 genome now, and we find that there's human RNA in it, for the reason that they can't separate it out originally. You follow me?
I follow you.
Okay, so the genome sequencing fails, the cytopathic effect fails, and so does the photographic data evidence. Because you can't tell the difference between an exosome, which is released when any cell fails.
So that brings me to the exit thought at this point. If that's the case, do these big farmers that have promulgated J&J, Moderna, and Pfizer, yeah. do they have any of this evidence? Can they bring that forth and prove what they're saying?
They won't do it because they would lose trillions of dollars.
That's the whole point. And right now, President Trump is saying, demanding that big pharma present the evidence behind their claim that their vaccinations are efficacious. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue our thoughts right after the broadcast. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
It's The Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.